amazing. Take your seats. It's just so good to know that's our God. You know, after an amazing morning like that, just knowing that God's spoken in and through, everything's been done. I'm not going to go right into preaching on everything I wanted to share and say, but I want to just say something. You know, those of you that went yesterday morning to hear Tim Costello up at the House of the Rock, the breakfast, I think we were probably blown away by the wisdom that that man gave and portrayed in so many aspects and attributes of things in life. And I was very, very touched and impressed, and I've asked for a copy of it to be made available so that we can get copies and pass them around. Well worth listening to. I don't want to preempt anything or spoil your listening journey, but when we got those discs available, or whether we get them on USB or on discs, make sure you listen to it. It's just so incredibly good as far as everyday life. And one of the things that he really emphasized was we're community. And I love that. Last week I talked about our salvation covenant with God and the word soteria. And I related back then to the word manaaki, which is a Maori covenant word, where the New Zealand government uses it as a promise protective covenant in their passport, promising to manaaki the people or the citizens, and to bless, to provide for, to protect, and to everything else. I haven't got it with me now, and I don't think it's back up on the screen, but that's fine. But I thought of what Tim said yesterday in light of that, and how amazing community will work when we walk in a covenant with God and are able to be who God calls us to be and wants us to be in Him. Now, I've told you the story a little earlier, but if you want to look at 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3 to 7, Second Samuel, chapter 9. And this verse absolutely is a most amazing covenant verse. You know, David was friends with Jonathan. David, I don't know what's going on here. I'm bumping. Right now, and David had taken over the throne of Saul, because Saul had disobeyed God and God had taken away the kingdom from him. I hope you've left me some tissues. Yep, I have. Great. I got all emotional back then too. It was just incredible. Must be something up here about the sniffles. And David took the throne, and of course people feared David. They had a wrong understanding of David. They thought David's a king. He hated Saul. It was a total wrong concept. And what Grace said about God was one there that made rules, and if you didn't obey the rules, look out. That was the same concept that was given of David back in the time. And yet the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. We can get such a wrong concept of God if we listen to religion and if we listen to all sorts of other spiels. When people don't know God, they try and make up their image of God in their own capacities. And it's wrong. The only way to know God is know God. Get in relationship with Him. And David was misconstrued the same way as often God is. I was much the same as a young guy, you know, and I was told if I went to the picture theater, the devil was in there and Jesus came back, I'd miss out. No. Stupid thing, absolutely rubbish religiosity that was thrown around in the church, that was made rules and regulations to keep people quote under some sort of line, walk on the line and the tightrope, and nothing at all was ever taught about the love of God. the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the covenant. I never heard the word covenant until I was much, much older. Had no idea that God was in covenant with me, and I had a God that loved and cared for me, that whose eyes were scanning the whole earth looking for an opportunity to show his strength on my behalf. Wow. That's the God we serve. And poor old David's up there in the palace and people are hiding from him. And because of their misconstrued concept of David, they went out and put themselves into places, or they were taken to places where David's goodness and David's heart couldn't reach them. And as much as the area and the kingdom was under David's control, obviously he never went out just seeking to destroy them and kill them. But here was a final step on the king's behalf. Man, who took the step on our behalf? Our king, amen? It wasn't up to us. It was up to us, it would never have happened. But the king made a move. He calls his servants in and he says, "Is there any left?" I want you to read this with me. I'm reading it out of the King James. I love King Jimmy. He was a pretty good bloke. But you'll be able to follow it in whatever translation you've got. The king said, David said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" What an amazing effort on the king's behalf. Is there any left yet of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God to him? And you know what? Studying that up, the word kindness of God there is an amazing word. It's a covenant word. Wow! It's hasid in the Hebrew. The New Testament translation of that word is agape. Ring a bell? The New Testament word agape is the unqualified, unconditional favor and love of God. Love of God, not favor, love of God. There are other forms of love that we walk in. We have our phileo love, where we're able to love husbands and wives, and we have our eros love, which is very an erotic type, sensual love. And what's the other one, Pete? Come on, you are the Greek. There's another one. Anyway, there's a fourth word translated out of the original writings. There are four words translated Greek out of the Greek into English that are all called love. But in the English, they have various, if you took them in the original meaning, they actually have four different levels. And the agape love of God is the pure, unadulterated, unconditional, giving, not expecting anything in return, love that it comes with covenant. Wow. And David, back in the Old Testament, turned around and he said, "Is there any yet of the household of Saul that I can show a covenant God kind of love to?" Whoa. Whoa. What a picture of our Lord Jesus. What a picture of God in heaven who said, you know, for God so, where it says, "For God so agape'd the world that he gave his only son, so that we could come back to him." And David called his servants in and he says, "I want to find anyone of Saul's household. Bring them back in. Bring them in. Bring them in." You know, we're in such an incredible covenant relationship with such an incredible covenant-keeping, faithful God. I think we lose sight of it sometimes. I think we look at other things around us, tend to fog our minds, and pressures of life and other things. But we are in such an amazing relationship. David said in the next little bit, told about a son who was lame on his feet. And the king said, "Where is he?" And told him, "He's in the house of them in the place in Lodibar." And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machon and brought him back. And so this is the most amazing thing. Mephibosheth, when he comes in to the king, he was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul, who came to David. He fell on his face and did reverence. David said, "Mephibosheth," and he said, "Behold your servant." And David said to him, "Don't be afraid. I will show you hasid, for Jonathan, your father's sake. Isn't that amazing? Because David and Jonathan actually made a covenant. And I will restore all of the land that Saul, your grandfather, had, and you will eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Whoa. You know, the picture of ourselves sometimes is, do I really deserve this? No. But what we've got to do is learn to come back into the covenant thinking rather than the self-down thinking, looking down thinking. And this is what Paul said in the New Testament. He said, search the scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. What is your covenant with God? What is it? That last chorus bit there we sang, wow, that blew me away. He's seated in the heavenlies. He's our hiding place. He's our refuge. He's our strength. We need to go through the scriptures and see what the scripture says about our covenant with God, who he has made us to be in him, and who he has raised us up to be. There's no more dead dog. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're far above principalities, powers, dominion, and might, and every name that's named in this world, not only in this world, but that which is to come. He's put all things under his feet, and if we're his body, all things are under our feet too. You know, that's an amazing covenant position to be in, and yet so many things we are subjected to in this world seem to dominate us. What we've got to learn to do is say, now hang on, I'm a child of God here. These things don't and shouldn't dominate me. Part of our covenant and grace, sweetheart, one of part of God's covenant, he gives his beloved sleep. You want to agree with me together that grace of sleep will be fully restored? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for this household and these gorgeous kids. But we speak your covenant of rest and sleep into that home now, that her strength would be restored, that you would renew her continually, day by day. Your mercies are new to her every morning. And I thank you for it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We receive it now by faith. You know, so many times I've prayed that. So many times we've had to bring our covenant into existence in our own home with my wife, with my kids, with my own self. And I reiterated God's word in covenant. God's been faithful. God's been faithful. And I've seen it over and over again. And I believe that as we're faithful to God, not only will his hasid and his agape love and his covenant to us be real, but we can be the manaki we need to be to the people out there. And I'll put that in Maori. But we can also portray God's covenant to others in the way we deal with them. It's just an amazing thing. And Paul wrote to Titus, and he talked to and then he said, speak the things which become sound doctrine. Now, when you're brought up in church, you think sound doctrine is what you believe about the second coming and what you believed about predestination and what you believed about this and preached about that and heard about that. It's amazing that that is just nonsense as far as the Bible's concerned, where sound doctrine is concerned. Sound doctrine is how to teach the women to love their husbands, how husbands are to love their wives, how we look after the poor and the orphans and visit them in their affliction, how we treat one another and how we bring about God's love into being and existence because we're in covenant with a loving God. That's what sound doctrine is according to the New Testament scriptures. It's amazing when you look at all that. And you know, Paul wrote in, I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, when he said to them, he said, because you weren't Jews up till now, you were without God in this world, you had no hope, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, the Jews knew their covenants of promise, but unfortunately, they violated so much. God was unable to bring about so much of what he wanted for them because they were just so wayward. But when you come to Christ, but now in him, we've been made complete and able for God to release to us through his grace and mercy, which wasn't in effect so much in the old covenant. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. The new covenant is a covenant of mercy. The new covenant is a covenant of love where God says, I will, regardless. He didn't have that prerogative in the Old Testament. I don't know if you're aware of that. He said, I will if you will. That was the covenant. We've got, I'm going to anyway. What a God we serve. He's wonderful. Amen? Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for your long, everlasting and long-suffering faithfulness to us, Lord. Father, we want to walk in that. We want to know you more. We want to know more of you. And as we open our hearts to you and we read your word and we see what you say about yourself and about us in that word, Holy Spirit, please illuminate the eyes of our understanding to know the length and the breadth and the height of the love of God, surpassing our natural knowledge, that we might be filled with your fullness, Lord God. And we thank you for it and love you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Wow.